Hi, Dan.
Hi, Jason. You got me. I was taking a sip of water.
Oh, no. Want me to do it again?
No, it's fine. It's fine. I mean, the verisimilitude, that's what people are here for.
That's very much on brand for this podcast, is things like that.
Hydration.
I got trash trucks going on outside. There's construction in my neighborhood. I do have a microphone.
Oh, I got guys.
You got guys insulating your house.
Yeah.
In like minus 40 degree temperature.
I made this appointment well before we knew what the temperature would be. So
I feel bad for those guys though, right? Like they're
in the basement.
Okay,
it's cool, but it's not like they're not like outside. So
no, well, that's good. So how cold is it outside right now?
How cold is it, Jason? So cold. Oh, good. My weather station is working once again. It says 21 degrees, which is cold, but not ridiculously cold. But no. I think I don't have, I'll see if I can pull it up here, is the wind chill, which is what's killing us today.
Yeah.
So the current feels like temperature in this area is -1.
Wow.
It's going down from here.
You know, I have fun with weather stuff, but wind chill is a thing that because somebody wrote in to upgrade, and this may be a Snell Talk question next week, but they're like, why does Jason care about weather when he lives in a place with no weather? Which is really funny. It was a meaner question than that. I was like, why is Jason obsessed with weather? Which I am not. But and my answer I'll save for upgrade, but involves like microclimates and stuff, like getting accurate results in my where I live about what's going on outside. I find valuable, but the one weather thing that I have no interest in because it doesn't happen here is wind chill. I have lots of software that's like, I'll show you the wind chill, and it's like, let me guess, the wind chill is the same temperature as the actual temperature, and it always is within like a degree. So it's like, all right, well, whatever.
I consider it the flip side of the feels like temperature in like summer too, right? Where it's like humidity, right?
Right. And we also don't have that.
Don't get as much. Yeah.
Yeah. The real feel, that whole real feel of like, oh, it's 85, but it feels like it's 95. Again, here it would be like, oh, it's 78, and it feels like it's 78. Like, yep, that's because it's 78.
Be nice.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I had a friend of mine who lives here said that's why described the cost of living in the Bay Area as the weather tax. And I said, well, there is something to be said for that. That is accurate. That because a friend of mine, actually our old colleague Sholly McFarland, sent me a link because she keeps trying to get me to move to Portland. And now that my kids are in college in Oregon, she's like circling in for the kill. But she sent me a link to the house across the street from hers that's for sale. And it's more than twice the size of my house for 55% of the value of my house. I'm like, okay. But, you know, again, then the weather tax would be the only other.
Yeah. Well, I will always remember a comedian bit I saw as a kid. I don't even remember where it was from, but it was going to talk about, you know what the easiest job in the world must be? Weatherman in San Diego. Today is going to be nice.
Having lived in San Diego for 4 years, I can tell you there are only like three weathers in San Diego. There's summer, where it's high of 80.
Yeah.
There's winter, where it's high of 60. 870? And then there's June gloom, which is still like high of 72, but the fog will be there all morning and then it'll burn off and get up to a high of 72. Those are your three San Diego weathers. That's it.
I just record those, play them back. I find it lovely. My wife claims that it would be too cold for her.
Where?
In San Diego. She thinks that's too cold.
Interesting.
And I say, sure.
Yeah. I mean, now look at us talking about weather, but like the Bay Area, San Diego is one of those places where if you want it to be hotter, you just move further inland. So like where our pal Steve Lutz lives, he's a little further inland and it's hotter there in the summer because they're away from the water. But if you're down on the water, basically, I mean, it's warmer than here on the water, let me tell you. But but yeah, you can sort of choose where to live and have a hot summer or whatever. Like San Diego, San Diego is about as good as it gets. If you want to move somewhere with good weather, San Diego, I would say, is the best for that. Well,
yeah,
LA is not bad, but San Diego is better.
I've only lived in places. I've gone from cold to colder because, of course, I
mean,
went
Ithaca?
To school in upstate New York. Yep,
I know how much snow there is in Ithaca. Oh my god,
it gets a lot of snow. And then when I lived abroad in Edinburgh, Also, less snow, but yes, a lot of rain and gray. Just damp. Does not get very sunny. Yeah, so
super damp there
someday,
in Scotland.
Someday I'll move to a nice Caribbean island.
It's
or
on.
Something.
It's on brand for them. Hey, I've always wanted to say this, so I'm going to say it. You ready?
Yes.
HomePods in the house.
Oh,
and I mean literally my house. There are HomePods in this room right now. I have second generation HomePods.
Jason, you're never more than 2 feet from a HomePod.
I am at the moment, but not always. But yes, I have received review units of the HomePods. After the reviews came out, I sent them an email and I was like, can I have the review units too? And they're like, sure, great. And they said, which color would you prefer? And I said, well, you know, I think I would prefer midnight, but if you can't do that, I'll take the other one. Guess what they did, Dan? Send me one of each.
Yep.
So what a pair. What a matched stereo pair. They're enemies, obviously. They're going to clash as the, you know, just classic, a classic story of good versus evil.
I was on the talk show earlier this week with John Gruber, and he also said he had one of each.
Yeah,
so
they must have decided. I actually only asked for, I was like, could I get a HomePod? I didn't want to be so presumptuous. And also, I reviewed the original HomePod, and they only sent me one. And I bought another one, but like they only
sent
me the one.
Twice as nice.
But this time they're like, you get two. So I'm looking forward. I have not played them. I just set them up, but I haven't played them.
Send one to me and one to you, and then we'll stereo pair them and see how they sound across the entire. Yeah,
crank it up.
If you're in Nebraska, you get the best effect.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's where you're. It's centered on. Sit facing north in Nebraska, and then I'll be the left speaker, and Dan will be the right speaker because that's how it's set up.
Any impressions?
No, I set it up. Setup is really nice. I mean, I assume that it's been so long since I set up the HomePod Mini that I actually don't remember, but the setup's nice. You know, you hold your phone next to it, and then it says put the camera to show the little pulsating thing on the top, and then it plays a little tone that your phone microphone listens to, and I walked away before it played the tone, and it said, please go back. So you can, so your phone can hear the audio password. And I was like, ooh, audio password. That's fun.
And it said, the audio password is password.
Boop, 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 boop.
My bloops are my passport.
But
please verify me.
That's all I got. I haven't listened to them yet. But I am going to compare them to my stereo pair of first gen HomePods, which I still have. And also I've got these Sonos Ones. So I'll compare them to those.
I should, I feel the need now because
HomePod
it has
Mini,
been.
Yes, I have those too.
It was brought up to me many times, as I'm sure you've realized. If you should ever, for example, make a mistake on a podcast, especially a podcast with as wide a following as, say, the talk show.
Oh, Dan,
lots of
let me tell
will
you.
Let you know.
Let me.
Lots
let me
of
tell
people
you.
Will they, let you mm-hmm. know. So I was informed by many people that my comment that you could not use a stereo pair of HomePods to get sound from other devices connected to your TV is incorrect because the EARC standard will route any audio from your, like any device connected to HDMI to your TV will be routed through the Apple TV and then output to the HomePods.
Yes.
Which I did not realize, I think in part because I have a non-4K Apple TV, which doesn't support any of the home theater features.
Right.
You can't even pair a HomePod with it, so I never had tried. And I think the earlier version of that, I think there was a version which had ARC but not eARC, which I think does not necessarily allow for that either. I could be mistaken about that, but I feel like at a point there was a point where this was the case and is no longer the case. So, yes. I was wrong about that, but it doesn't matter because I have an old Apple TV, and I don't think my TV supports ARC, but I don't think it even supports eARC, which may limit some of the functionality there, too.
So let me tell you about being on the talk show. Now, you've learned this, but for the interest for the people out there, a lot of people listen to the talk show, and a lot of people listen to the talk show who don't listen to maybe the other stuff we do as much, and so it's a different audience a little bit. I feel it's not quite as different as like when I go on Twit. And you've been on Twit a bunch too. That's a really different audience, and I think it's good because they don't know who we are, and we don't know who they are, and it's a good thing. But so podcast feedback in general, the talk show is just sort of like I feel like a magnification of this, which is there are the very nice people who heard an error and would like you to correct it, which is hard because you're not on like there's no correction segment, and you're not on again the next week on the talk show. So it is just what it is. On Upgrade, if we make a mistake, we can say the next time follow up, we made a mistake. Here it is. There are the people who are jerks about it. I like them less. And my yep. thought every time one of the jerks comes in is, you try speaking extemporaneously, essentially no notes, completely extemporaneously about technical topics, including some things that are brand new that just happened, for 2 or 3 hours if it's at the talk show, and see how you do. Speaking extemporaneously about technical topics is hard. It's real hard.
I like sometimes to think I have a good catalog in my head. I, you know, honestly, the height for me was, you know, in the days I was working at Macworld and doing the news beat, because I would be compiling stories and I would have that catalog in my head of all these things that had happened, and like, oh, this is referenced, like, and you know, I right. would know where to go. But like, you know, I've been doing this for 17 years. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't remember everything.
No.
I'm sorry. No, I try. I know a lot, yeah, but I don't
like
know everything.
Nobody told me there would be esoteric trivia about which WWDC year-wise they launched the original HomePod, right? It's like, was that 16, 17? It was in San Jose. I think it was the first year in San Jose.
Oh, man. I was just looking up a... Yeah, I was just looking up a... Which year was it that the Steve Jobs showed Halo off at Macworld?
And
I
in
had
New York.
To go back through the archives.
Like
it was
99?
New York, 99, but there was also a San Francisco 99, and it's misattributed in some places.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, I was in the room. It was New York.
I found both recordings, and I was like, he talks a lot about games in the San Francisco one as well, but he's wearing a different outfit. He's not wearing a turtleneck. So I was like, this is not the same.
So
it's not the same Steve Jobs speech.
So my point here is, we're going to make mistakes.
Yes.
I don't mind corrections. When it's not your podcast and you're not on again, the corrections don't really do anything, but it's for our own edification. That's fine. Don't be a jerk about it. It's really hard to speak extemporaneously about technology for hours. Even if you prep, what happens is then you go into an area you didn't prep, and then you're like, and that's the problem,
right? I think this is the case, yeah.
and sometimes you're right, and sometimes you're wrong. Shows with chat rooms are great, because the chat rooms will often correct you, and you can do real-time follow-up. I'll say, here's another classification of a piece of podcast feedback we get, which is, we make a mistake and then we correct it, but somebody sends in a correction because they're listening to the podcast and they don't wait until they're done with the podcast.
That's right.
So they say, you made a mistake, but we then corrected it later. Or the even worse variation of that, which is, I can't believe you mentioned this when we did mention it, but they haven't gotten to that part yet. Maybe
you should
wait. Just wait. Don't make the fatal error of leaving feedback for a podcast when you haven't listened to the whole podcast. That's all I'm saying.
The people who pause it to breathlessly run to their computers and let you know
something's wrong on the internet. I got to do it.
Yeah.
It's like, but we corrected it 2 minutes. I usually respond because I find it funny. And so I'll usually respond and say, wait for it. They're like, oh no, I did it. I did the thing. I'm like, you did the thing. Sorry.
There's a wide variation, like I said. Some people were very nice enough to let me know in like a more like private capacity, you know, like send me a DM or something.
Right.
But is, you know, just the so much
at Grouper,
is, honestly,
at D Morin, you
well,
morons.
That's the thing. And honestly, I will also say this has been a fun experience, because I got almost no Twitter engagement from this.
Right.
But I got a ton of engagement on Mastodon I was trying to filter stuff out, and I was just hitting the rate limits on Mastodon Social constantly.
Wow.
And so I'd be like trying to scroll back and find something to reply to, like a mention, and it's like, oh, you got to wait 15 minutes. I'm like, what are you talking about? I have to wait 15 minutes to scroll back through my mentions?
Yeah.
So stuff's a little rough, and it was quite the deluge of incoming mentions, and there's a lot. There was a lot.
Also, I saw the title, Twitter and the Monkey Man, and it's like, I had Traveling Wilburys Volume 1. I know that that's a Bob Dylan song.
I had
on
no
Wilburys.
Idea what that was a reference to. I had to see your explanation, I think.
Well, it's like Twitter and
this
the
did not
Monkey
come up
Man
on the
were
show.
Hot up for cash. They spend all their time using cocaine and hash. Something like that is how that goes, yeah.
Okay.
It's a whole...
That's an accurate description
and it's
of the episode.
Needless to say, they love the Monkey Man. It's Bob Dylan. That's the Dylan song. Well, I went into a little more of a Dylan there, but that's Traveling Wilburys Volume 1. I had that on cassette tape, I think. That's places that in the era. Also, Apple results happened.
Yeah, they did. We
talked about it on a little video yesterday.
Yeah.
But any top line thoughts about that? now from you, having slept on it?
Yes, having slept on it, I'm still...
You wait, do you have dreams of Tim Cook?
Oh my God.
Sword fighting with analysts or something?
That's right. He's sailing proudly at the front of a ship.
Well, you use the headwinds.
Some headwinds.
You use the headwinds. Yeah. Or the line that I used in the in my Macworld column, which is, of course, available for all Six Colors members now. Just read it on Six Colors if you want. Or in the RSS or in the newsletter at the end of the week. Is that there was the analyst Krish Sankar used the phrase, the softening macro. I just stopped and I'm like, what? And then I decided, no, thank you. I don't ever want to hear that again. The softening macro.
If there's
macro.
Anybody worse than technology people at coming up with terms, it's financial people.
Oh, and then this is the amazing attachment of those two things. So another thing that I noticed on the call that I thought was very funny, because after we were done with our video, I went back and I finished transcribing the call, technically I finished using Whisper AI to transcribe the call and correct the dumb AI mistakes it made, of which it made so few. It's shocking. It's the first time I've used Whisper for this. I previously used Rev.com. They need to use Whisper for their transcription engine now, because it's amazing. Anyway, what I noticed is, remember, Apple stopped when the pandemic happened. Apple started doing guidance, and guidance has some very particular legal terms. There's forward-looking statements, and then there's guidance. And guidance is when the company says, we're going to do this. And what they've instead been doing is general impressions of where they haven't had a good phrase for it until now, where they're like, you know, we made some projections, but it's not guidance, and because we can't be that confident in it. But yesterday it was clear that they've come up with a term for it, and it's color. In fact, at a couple of points, Tim Cook said, well, Lucas said in his guidance, I mean, in his color apparently is now the word that they're going to use. I mean, it is a word that we know the analysts like, because the analysts always want more color.
Tim does a little, play-by-play. Luca does a little color.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, they call the financial results.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tim and Luca in the morning. Good morning!
Hi, good morning! Yeah, I don't know. There's you know what? We talked a little bit about this yesterday, but obviously the notable fact is that they were, you know, the results were down, not only from where people expected, which is we're all used to they missed the Wall Street expectations. That's not what this is. This is them being legitimately like less growth because of all the supply chain issues and everything, and because last year was a surprisingly great quarter. So, you know, it's going to be a little rough, but I think, you know, it's not. It's at the same time, nobody should cry too much or worry about Apple surviving. It was the second best quarter they've ever had. They made billions upon billions of dollars.
Don't cry about corporate results, please.
Don't buy into the news cycle that's telling you that things are bad because they didn't post the results that were as good as last year. It doesn't really matter.
When the iPhone sales are down, it may make you have a frown. Look away, baby. Look away from the corporate results. That's my inspirational song for you.
Okay.
I was going to be doing that today. Hey, by the way, a little punchy this morning. I don't know why. I have a list here, Dan, of... Yep. We'll get back to results in a moment, but that's boring. would you like to hear some Apple Music song recommendations sent by Apple for what you should play on your HomePods as a test?
Would I?
Yeah. Everybody by Ingrid Michaelson.
Don't know it.
Best Part by Daniel Caesar featuring H.E.R.
Nope, never heard of him.
No Place Live from Joshua Tree by Rufus Du Sol.
No, I thought I was going to know who that was, and then you got to the end. Did not.
Six or Seven More by Cool Sounds.
I do enjoy sounds that are cool.
That are cool. I know, me too. That's what I said. Distance by Yeba.
Nope.
That's I think that's Jabba's cousin, Yeba the Hutt.
Okay, Yeba the Hutt.
Yeah. Yeah. What It Is by Amber Mark.
Nope.
Good to see that Mark and Amber got back together. Cold Heart PNAU Remix by Elton John and Dua Lipa.
Okay, I've heard of both of those people.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you love a good PNAU now remix.
PNAU remix is, yeah, that's the best. Mystery Lady by Masego and Don Toliver.
No, that those are made up.
And now this sidebar to the sidebar. I watch Jeopardy every night, and which means I'm old. I get it. But although Brian Hamilton watches, and they're not old, so maybe it makes me feel young.
Old soul.
That's true. I used to be so good with pop music. And in the last couple of years, I've realized that my pop music really did stop.
It's an age function.
My comprehensive my comprehensive pop music stopped like 15 years ago or 20 years ago when I had kids. When Jamie's home visiting, she knows all those questions to answer the clues, and I don't, which is sad. And this is just proving that out, that I've heard of Elton John and Dua Lipa. Tales by Moonlight featuring Amare by Tiwa Savage.
Nope.
This is why they have to suggest them. Because you don't know. Coastin' by Victoria Monet.
Oh, love her paintings.
Okay, now we're getting into the good stuff. This is the stuff you'll know. And this next one is one I remember being on their original HomePod playlist back when the original HomePod came out. It is Hotel California Live on MTV 1994 by Eagles.
That one I know.
The Live Hotel California. I remember standing in my living room listening to Live Hotel California because Apple was like, oh, the way it's produced. It's just so perfect. Lovely Day by Bill Withers. Straight up. Absolutely. Great song. Know that one. Late Night Talking by Harry Styles. Oh, Harry Styles. Okay, sure. I'm well aware of Harry Styles.
He's very stylish.
It's No Watermelon Sugar. One of the other Harry Styles songs I know. Go Your Own Way by Fleetwood Mac.
Now we're talking. Mm-hmm. Okay. You're in my territory.
Well, that's the last song on the list. So no, we're not talking. We're done talking. And the Made for Spatial Audio playlist, which is a good playlist if you've got any device with spatial audio. That's what they use to show off the spatial
audio. I was
audio.
Never even good at pop music when I was of the age where pop music was designed to appeal to me. I was too busy listening to music scores, movie scores, and They Might Be Giants. Like, that was pretty much it.
Yeah.
And the Beatles. I listen to a lot of the Beatles. But I'm not a pop music person. Had never been. Like, my wife will like regularly come to me and is like, you know that song, the song that goes blah, 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 and I'll be like, I've literally never heard this song. She's like, that's impossible. I was like, no, I guarantee you I've never heard this song before in my life.
But it's Dan.
It's me. I'm special that way.
So it is. Okay, they're asking me to post this in the chat room. Well, for those who are in the chat room, I'm going to give it to them. Anyway, I look forward to listening to the music on the HomePod. Apple results. Back to that now. Apple results. It's hard to say that a $30 billion quarter was a bad quarter. It's hard to say that the second best quarter all time was a bad quarter. They had brutal production delays with their most... the most valuable segment of their most valuable and popular product, and they managed to be down 8% year over year from their biggest quarter ever. And so I have to say, even though Wall Street doesn't love it, Wall Street's also very grumpy right now. I think this is fine. I think this was a fine quarter for them given everything that was going on, and they talk about that macroeconomic climate and the foreign exchange headwinds, which, you know, they said 8%, was foreign exchange headwinds, and they were down 8%, but, you know, which is not the same measurement, but like they got hit a lot. And I mentioned this in the Macworld column, but basically the foreign exchange is this idea. We talked about this in the video that, like, so Apple's in China and they sell a certain number of iPhones last year. In this quarter. And then this year they sold a certain number of iPhones this quarter. And in the currency in China, iPhone sales were up. But that iPhone sales number from last year converted to the US dollar at the time compared to the iPhone sales in this quarter this year or last year, but converted to the US dollar at the time. Now it's fewer dollars. And so it looks like sales were down, but sales were actually up. And Tim Cook said overall sales of the iPhone were flat, which is not bad given waves hands around everything going on. So, I mean, yes, is Apple trying to hide hide behind all these things and, you know, and use them as excuses? Sure. I mean, sure they are, but they seem to me to be fairly legitimate if what you're concerned about is the overall health of Apple's business. And some Wall Street types are not, right? Some Wall Street types are like in the bag for Apple or out to get Apple. That's just how they play it. And then others are looking for sort of like narratives or looking for sort of short term versus long term. And what we look for is sort of health of Apple's business. And I have a hard time looking at these results and not saying that Apple's business is pretty healthy, because if this is what a bad quarter looks like, bad holiday quarter, they are, you know, again, give me $30 billion in profit. Like, they're doing okay.
I'd kill to have this bad quarter.
Yeah. I'd take a minute of this bad quarter, quite frankly, and walk away and retire, right? Like, they're doing pretty good. The iPad was great. Now, the iPad is a comparison versus a quarter where they didn't have iPads to sell a year ago. And this year, they came out with the new iPad 9th generation and the new iPad Pro M2. And I think, anecdotally, I have heard a lot of people say that they bought the M2 iPad Pro because they were sitting on the 2018 model. And I wonder if there's a super cycle here where, like, people, iPad buyers, really loved that 2018 iPad Pro when it came out because it was so powerful and it had the new design with the flat sides and the Apple Pencil 2. And I'm interested that, like, we grouse about the fact that the M2 model looks just like the 2018, but I wonder if a bunch of people from the 2018 were just holding out and they passed the M1 by and they're like, not yet. And they got to the M2 18 months later and they're like, okay, I'm just going to go in. Because I've heard that from a lot of people, and then the iPad sales come out and they're really great. So I wonder if that's part of what's going on there. Second best iPad quarter ever. I looked it up. And the last time they had a quarter this good was 9 years ago. It's very early. It was the peak of that early run that the iPad had before it kind of like cratered for a while and then slowly came back. Even with all the other things going on here about like year over year, the pure iPad quarter just based on revenue is amazing. I had another thought while I was writing my Macworld column last night, Dan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Remember when they played that shell game and said, we're going to stop reporting units and we're only going to report revenue?
Yeah.
Kind of bites them when the foreign exchange headwinds are blowing. Because previously they could have pointed at the units and said, look, unit sales are up and it's foreign exchange, but they can't say that anymore. They have to be like, on a currency basis, right? Like, that's constant currency. It's fine. It's constant currency. And what they used to be able to do is point at the sales figures and say, look at the numbers, they're up or flat.
Yep.
They can't do that anymore because they're hiding those numbers.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's Apple like to sort of minimize its surface area, as you said, and like I think that is tricky because it gave another dimension, and I'm sure it made things easier for a lot of the financial people who love the ability to just take some units, divide that by some revenue, get some ASPs on there, right? Like, figure that out nice and easily instead of have to sort of like do a lot of supply chain checking around and all that to figure out, okay, roughly how many units do they sell? How much does that mean the iPhones, ran? Which models do they buy, right? Like, more data, better. But also for Apple, more data. We don't want you to know that stuff because that's our stuff.
Yeah.
That's our stuff that you don't get to know unless we tell you that. We don't want to tell you.
I was wondering with all this color that they're doing now if they're ever, ever, ever going to do guidance again. And there may be some laws about guidance.
I was going to say, I don't know what's required from like the SEC or what have you for...
Yeah, they may be.
Clearly, they have to report some stuff.
Right.
So.
It's a little like this. I wonder if it's a little like the state of emergency thing, where it's like, we can't remain in a state of emergency forever, so we're going to not have a COVID state of emergency anymore.
Yeah. I mean, if there were, let's put it this way, clearly there is an SEC regulation that requires them to say give results, because otherwise they would not do that.
Yeah. Yeah, public company, they got to
a publicly traded company
at certain levels, and they have to break out certain product categories too. They can't just say revenue above a certain percentage of their business. They have to break it out into categories, which is why we have an iPhone category, etc.
Yeah, but in terms of guidance, I don't know what's actually required.
I don't either. So. But I think they will only go back to it when required. I'll put it that way. I mean, they listed off the confluence of things that are going on, and it involves the Ukraine Russia war. Right, Russia's invasion of Ukraine, it kicked them out of Russia, basically, and there's a lot of tension in Europe about what's going on in Ukraine, and so that's going on, and there's some China tension, and there's the all long-term effects of the pandemic, and like they're like we're still, and I think fears of recession and lots of people in the tech sector laying people off. And I think that they're still sort of like, it's uncertain. We don't want to give official guidance. Because I think maybe, I don't know if there are rules about whether you have to give guidance or not. But I do know, and there's no accountants apparently in the chat room to tell us. I do know that if there are rules about what your guidance must be like, right? Like if you give guidance,
right,
you are formally giving some guidance about your actual expectations of what the next quarter will be. And when will they be comfortable doing that again? I don't know. I mean, I don't blame them, but I do wonder, because it's Apple, they'll probably take as long as they can possibly before they have to comply and give guidance again, if ever. I'm not a Wall Street analyst. I just pretend to be about Apple once a quarter. That's all. All right. Well, another Friday, another momentous. I mean, it's February now, early in the year. This is shaping up to be a real interesting year for Apple. So far,
surely nothing else will.
No, we're done.
Happen in February.
No, we're done. We're totally done.
What's next?
One final note again for everybody who is who didn't hear it earlier, just that Dan's and my Macworld columns are now on Six Colors for members. And if you're listening to this, you're a member. So you can go to your member RSS feed and see them. You can go to the website if you're logged in and you'll see them. And they'll be in the newsletter on Friday evening Pacific time. So
this is a feature we provide because we're not discontinuing our API.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we went to Macworld and we said, wouldn't this would be nice. We definitely heard from people who are like, well, you know, I pay you and I don't see your Macworld column. And I said, well, it's because they pay me to have the exclusive there. And then the thought occurred to me at some point, what if we negotiated a new deal where that was, I mean, again, it's like, I think it's a drop in the bucket for them. But for us, it's, you know, the membership is super important. Hi, members. We love you. And so they agreed to it, which is great for both of us. So
it is great. I, you know, frankly, I'm going to admit I was a little surprised, but it was very nice of them.
No, they're like, go. Sounds good. I mean, it does. It really doesn't impact their business model at all. And because if we had like 50,000 members or something, it might be different, but we don't. So for the people who are paying, it's another member benefit and they don't have to go to Macworld site. And some RSS readers apparently like were just see the link and then load the text and put it in a reader view, which is like, okay, great. Like you, I mean, they'll probably try to break it and do weird stuff, but now you don't have to because we'll have full text of those everywhere. And we should mention, I don't know if we mentioned this before, but since we're doing this housekeeping, John Maltz writing This Week in Apple every week. And that's on the site and in
that's
the newsletter
too. Yeah,
I've gotten some nice feedback about that column. People enjoy it. I mean, John is a funny guy and he also pays attention to Apple stuff. And so he's writing these This Week in Apple recaps on Fridays. And I think that's been a lot of fun for members only.
It makes me laugh, not only because John is funny and his columns are funny, but also because it puts me back in mind of I used to do a daily version of that column at Macworld many years ago. The Remains of the Day.
Remains of the Day.
Which were like scooping up all the things that didn't get covered throughout the day and writing little, occasionally snarky tidbits of news about them. And I enjoy that format because it's a nice digest of catching up on stuff.
Right. And reference acknowledged, and John gets to pick from anything, right? So it really is more of a sort of summary of the
very
week.
Broad.
I thought it would be a fun thing to put at the top of the newsletter for people who read the newsletter. And there are, I mean, the funny thing about it is, right, some people read on the web, some people read in RSS, some people read in the newsletter. You choose how you want to get your stuff. We want you to be able to find your member content wherever you go. But like my in-laws read the newsletter. They only read my stuff though, Dan. They don't care what you have to say. They only read my stuff. I don't know.
That's fair. My mom only reads my stuff.
Yeah. See, this is how it works. So anyway, I like that. That's a fun thing too, that John's up at the top of the newsletter, which means I had to rejigger the newsletter and I found a bug in the newsletter last week while I was at a dinner party and I had to fix it on my iPhone and so that the newsletter would get out. There's more work I got to do on my little newsletter script. Turns out, hey, Dan, don't put an ampersand in a headline, please. I did. I made the mistake of putting an ampersand in the headline, and the XML validator at our email provider rejected it as invalid XML because there was an ampersand in the title. So I guess I have to escape that. So back into my Python script that generates the newsletter. But it's great to have Maltz doing that. You know, what else is he up to these days? I guess he's got that podcast with you and Lex, you know, The Rebound.
Oh, yeah. I guess that's true.
Right. Right. So he's paying attention. Okay, that's it. Thank you, members, for listening to the podcast. We'll be back next week. Until then, bye, Dan.
Bye, Jason.